Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi conference call. The CEO, Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, and the investor relator, Mr. Fabrizio Micheli, will present you the 2010 third quarter consolidated results. A question and answer session will follow the presentation. Now, I hand you over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the De'Longhi third quarterly report. The third quarter for the De'Longhi Group has been very strong performance on top line, with sales improving 23%, and with very good performances at both divisions, with very strong performance of household at 27% growth rate, and also very strong performance of professional. Actually, I think that considering the market difficulties, we have to consider really very exceptional versus competition, also the performance of all the professional division. Besides the stronger growth, there is also an improvement, still an improvement on the industrial margin, improving above 1 point, almost 2 points on the quarter, thanks to good mix in terms of products and also in terms of geographies. Also with the advantages at exchange rate, thanks to the hedging strategy that the group has set in the past for 2010. Thanks to the business model, with a strong growth and rather limited increase in fixed costs, most of the improvements in the industrial margin has been translated in a straight improvement of EBITDA, which jumped from 37 million in third quarter 2009 to 58 million in third quarter 2010. And a very similar improvement for EBIT, and also very good performance at net profit level, jumping from 15 million to 28 million for the quarter. Besides the economic performance, also very good performance of the net financial position, where the group is still improving thanks to the profitability generated by the operations and also by the very tight control of working capital. The net financial position at end of September is now at slightly above 110 million, down 125 million from September 2009. Also, we have to underline that we have controlled nicely the working capital, despite a slight increase in the inventories, in line with the growth expectations of the group for the remainder of the year. Few notes about the two divisions. Very strong performance, as I said before, for households. We continue to grow faster, much faster than the market, driven by excellent performance of espresso coffee makers, where market shares are really climbing worldwide. Also good performance of heating, where we reinforce our number one position in the world. And also with good performance of food preparation, particularly in kitchen machines and food processors under the Kenwood brand. But also positive double-digit improvement of smaller product lines for the group, which might be interesting for the future, like ironing or floor care. So in principle, really a very good performance of all the product lines, with just the exception of air conditioning, mobile air conditioning, which were weak in the first 6 months and are obviously for the low season of air conditioning now not showing any improvements. In terms of geography, very good signals both from mature markets where performance is solid. We think that the more mature markets are growing despite the recession move of the world economy. Still, the markets where we compete are growing. We think the growth is around 5 to 6%, and that the group is growing much faster. And we have a very good performance in the emerging markets, which is also a good information for the future. So, in the emerging markets, we include Eastern Europe, Russia, Southern East Asia, and China. We are growing about 30%, and this part of the world represents approximately 35% of the group sales today. And notably, we have also reached the number one position in China for coffee makers, becoming number one lately thanks to the success of the high-end coffee makers also in the Chinese market. We continue to invest in our brands, so we see increasing the advertising in, spends for the year and in the promotional activities where we are driven by achieving in-store excellence and strong advertising support for all our core products. And obviously, we still invest in innovation, which we should also deliver further growth in the fourth quarter, even if it's difficult to expect a growth rate similar to the one that we saw in this quarter. But again, innovation is still very strong. We've just recently added to our product portfolio, thanks to a new agreement with Nestlé. We started the distribution of Dolce Gusto, a new capsule system for De'Longhi in Europe, and we just started in September. So with this high potential for future growth in the months to come and the years to come. Also, we have a strong pipeline of innovative products, which will be launched, particularly products for the kitchen and for coffee makers, and we have two very, very strong products for next year. So we feel that probably next year we're going to have the best range in the competitive arena for coffee makers, aimed to further accelerate our growth in a very growing market. Also, we have new products to further accelerate our market share in smaller segments like ironing and floor care. So we saw a very good performance of kitchen products. Generally speaking, now we want to really grow faster also in other segments where we have good know-how, good industrial competence in Italy and in China. with regard to professional, we think that we are going back to normal. Obviously, the real estate world and the commercial developments, the real estate developments are still rather slow, but we go back to, let's say, the new normal. So we should expect the market not to slip further. And in this context, we see a very strong performance of our brands, particularly in the high-end, high-efficiency chillers. So this is very good for the profitability of the division, where we have a higher profitability than average in the division. But also we see positive signs on the on the radiators, which were very hit by the recession, and they are back to growth in the quarter. We saw a nice 4% improvement in the quarter. So for the professional division, we see good results, also driven by emerging markets, where Clima Veneta is performing very well in Asia. Having said that, we believe that the group should be able to post further growth in the last quarter, obviously if market condition will continue to be good as we saw in the last 9 months. And also we should have still further improvement year on year on the profitability and growth and profitability. And hopefully, thanks to the work we have performed in working capital control, also to further improve our net financial position. Looking forward, slightly ahead, we have been very, very, very shy in giving guidances in the last 2 years due to the very uncertain market condition. Now we believe that we are back to normal and we expect the markets to grow, and we think that thanks to the products and the strength of the brands, we can grow faster than the competition, and we can aim to have a growth up to 10% for the group for the years to come, as was the goal before the recession of 2008. Thanks to the model, we think that we are in good position to even further accelerate EBITDA growth, which should grow faster than top line, and also good cash generation. Although in the short term, we have to address some issues with regards to raw materials and exchange rates. This obviously is more a short-term issue. We think that the group has the capacity, has demonstrated to have the capacity to manage difficulties in this area, and we should be able in the longer term to manage the increase in the raw materials and in the potential higher cost due to adverse exchange rates because of the revaluation of renminbi in China, and also the risk of an appreciation of the dollar. So we saw a devaluation of the dollar lately after a strong appreciation versus yen. So the trends are not clear. If the dollar should go further up to 130, we think that the group anyhow has instruments and tools in order to maintain and protect its profitability. So having said this, I would leave the words for Q&A. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that you may register for your questions by pressing star followed by 1. To cancel your reservation, press star followed by 2. The first question comes from Mr. Andrea Bonfà of Bancaletti. Mr. Bonfà, please.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I got two questions for the time being. One is related to the data that you mentioned on the Chinese market, that you are the number one on, let's say, top-end coffee maker. Is it possible to have some market data, and what's the size, basically, of the market we are talking about? Which kind of growth rates are you registering there? The second one is related to this agreement with Nestlé, which maybe I lost some of your comments. Is it possible for you to elaborate again and maybe be a little bit more specific on what is the innovation there? What are the terms of the agreement with Nestlé? Thank you very much.
Sure. About market shares in China, yes, we can say that we have market research. Well, unfortunately, we cannot disclose due to the contract we have with the market research to the public, but say we can absolutely claim that based on market research and company sources that our market share in coffee makers is now above 25%. It's still a small market. It's a market that we think is approximately in the area of 40-50 million dollars, but it's growing, and we think that we will work very hard in this marketplace in order to make it grow. And we have good signs of good double-digit growth for our sales, and it is just a sign that there's opportunity in Asia and in China, and this is a good sign for opportunities to grow in the emerging markets. With regard to the agreement with Nestlé, as you probably can recall, we entered in 2004 in an agreement with Nestlé on Nespresso coffee makers. Nespresso are capsule coffee makers, coffee makers using capsules, aluminum capsules serving espresso. Now we have entered in a new agreement with Nestlé on a new capsule, which is a plastic capsule available in supermarkets and in retail, which is a more versatile system of making espresso and also other drinks. So it's a machine that is serving espresso, but also hot chocolate and other drinks. And we started in three markets, and we've started in Italy, we started in Switzerland, we have also started in Spain. We will open very soon new markets like Scandinavia. So we are in the process of really launching these products, which is a tremendous opportunity to improve our market share in espresso, capture further growth, and also cover new needs and new benefits for our consumers in coffee and drink preparation.
Sorry, on this point with Nespresso, is this a patent of yours, or is this something that somebody else can replicate? I mean, is basically an exclusive?
A patent system. I cannot disclose anything about the patents, who is the owner, and but with however, is a closed system.
Sorry, what do you mean for closed system?
The closed system is a patented system, so
okay.
Nobody can make the capsules but Nestlé.
Ah, but Nestlé, okay. But sorry, but if I'm correct, so it means that Nestlé can give, the license to manufacture and distribute a coffee machine with this patent also to other players?
No, yes, but we are only two partners. One is DeLonghi, one is another partner.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Mr. Alessandro Falcioni of UniCredit. Mr. Falcioni, please.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Fabio, just some clear view on 2011. I mean, given, do you expect any substantial raw material impact? How much would you say that could be next year, given current levels? And also, where do you see margin improvement if you have 10% growth top line? I mean, you did say that you would see EBITDA growing faster than sales, but can you give a little bit more detail on that, please?
So we know, thanks to the business model, we think that growing at the rate of, let's assume 10%, we think we can increase much faster our EBITDA, so grow even 20% EBITDA based on a 10% top line growth. Obviously, if growth should be more limited, in example, at 5%, we still believe that profitability should improve at 10% based on, equal conditions. I think that in the short term for next year, we should assume probably some worsening of the buying conditions, which may result in an impact approximately maybe 20 to 25 million euro in increased costs due to raw materials, which are very high, and also some adverse exchange rates. However, obviously we can also have some help from positive currencies and also some other saving programs at facilities, more efficiencies to be delivered by factories and improvements due to new investments, and also marketing mix and price alignment in the market. So I feel that obviously there is some impact potentially, but we think that we're setting all the actions in order to offset these and to continue to post improvement in profitability. But the risk that we have to really just take a picture of the potential risk in the short term, which can have maybe 15 million of possible negative impact, which we think that certainly we have the tools, you know, to offset and address.
Okay. Now, I was noticing your EBITDA margin for the household division in the third quarter was the highest you've ever recorded. I was wondering now that with this kind of contribution from the coffee and Kenwood, where do you see this margin going in the fourth quarter? Do you think you can, I mean, you should be able to do better than that, obviously, given the higher volumes. Wondering, you know, how much this can, you know, where you think it can go to this year and next year in household. Net of raw material costs, you know, given the cost structure and given the kind of profitability you now have in your new composition of sales.
Yeah, I think that in the if we can, let's say we have the possibility to improve our let's say EBITDA margin by 1 point, let's say half to 1 point, in case we improve sales five or maybe let's say 25 business point basis point or 50 basis points. So I believe that we still can accelerate. Obviously, we see now a tremendous opportunity for the growth to capture more market share and to enter in new business segments and also to let's say attack new geographies. So I think that we will continue to grow our profitability, but also we want to take say the opportunities in this very window that say that we have. I think there is a tremendous opportunity. We will continue to have profitable growth, but still growth. So we don't want really to maximize in the short term the improvements in the profitability. I think we have delivered the improvement in the profitability we have set as a goal years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago after the localization. We said we want to go back to our target profitability of 15%. We are now back there in terms of profitability for the division. And now we want to still push it further, but again, to be very competitive and to grow our position in and to capture opportunities for growth. So we don't want really to maximize in the short term the profitability. We want to get better, but also to capture the opportunities in the market.
Okay, last thing. Any non-recurring items you're expecting in the fourth quarter, please?
Sorry, the line was a little bit disturbed. I think I missed part of your question.
Yeah, what are the non-recurring items you expect in the fourth quarter?
Well, yeah, the non-recurring, sometimes are unexpected, but we saw that we had about 5 million, slightly less than 5 million in the last 9 months. So I think I would expect maybe 1 million to 2 million if nothing really unexpected should happen.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Mr. Filippo Prini of Banca Leonardo. Mr. Prini, please.
Yeah, good evening to everybody. I got three brief questions, if I may. The first one, I was very impressed by the strong performance of the professional division that got back to grow in the quarter. I'm just wondering if in the guidance you gave of again, very strong growth of revenues in the fourth quarter, the professional division maybe would outperform the household division. The second one, referring to the numbers of the household division in the third quarter, just wondering if the main contributor came again from the coffee makers and cooking product, or maybe if some other other product lines that gave a positive contribution to this growth? And the last one, if you have already planned some hedging policy for Forex for 2011. Thank you.
Okay, so the first question is about the profitability, the growth of the two divisions for
Yeah.
the last quarter. Well, obviously, in the short term, I want to recall that last year, the last quarter has been fairly strong. So obviously, in the short term, we will have a, let's say, a tougher comparison. Last year, the quarter has been fairly good. So I think that in this perspective, we have a tough comparison versus, let's say, the first 9 months, where last year the first 9 months were rather weak. However, we performed very well also in October. So I believe that we will be able to post growth for both divisions also for fourth quarter. Obviously, we have only 1 month behind us, and we still have two very important months ahead of us. However, I feel that the product portfolio, the order portfolio for both divisions should be such to guarantee also further growth in the last 2 months of the year. Obviously not, we don't expect another quarter at 23%, so obviously even would be probably difficult also to have a double-digit quarter in the short term. Also to some very strong orders, early orders, which happened in the third quarter, in order to fill the pipeline for Christmas. With regards to your second question, the drivers in the household, I think that we have obviously a very strong performance of coffee makers. Coffee makers are very strong, is still a growing market, and we are growing our market share. However, I believe that the group has reached a very important commercial position in many markets. So the group has leading position in SDA, small domestic appliances, not just in Italy or England, but also Germany, in Austria, very strong position in Switzerland, also growing importance in the Netherlands, in Spain. Now we roll out with Nespresso also in Portugal, where we become also very important, very strong in Russia. So I really think that we are becoming more and more a partner for retailers, and obviously on the back of success on coffee makers, they are buying more from us. Also in other product lines where we push more with innovation and new ideas. And I believe that this position is explaining why we're growing double digit also in floor care, in double digit also in ironing, we're growing double digit also in other kitchen products, and also Kenwood is growing very strong and not at the similar pace from coffee maker. So in this perspective, I really feel that the business model is working nicely. We have invested so much in building the international platform. This is a very, very costly international platform to build. And now we are really enjoying the results thanks to the very important market position that we have reached in most of the markets where we compete. Your third question, this is now I move to the third question about hedging. We have hedged for 2011 approximately 20% of our net exposure for the dollar, which is, as said before, about $400 million.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Mr. Claudio Giacomiello of Banca Akros. Mr. Giacomiello, please.
Yes, good afternoon. I would like to know if you can give us more details on on the competition in coffee machines. So I mean, you said that you have increased market share, so I would like to just give us more details on that. And I would like also to know if you expect an increase in competition and in promotions in the coffee machine segment in Q4. In particular, I would like to know which is now the second player after you, if you can say that.
Okay, so yes, obviously, no, our market share is may vary between 25% and 30%, depending on the markets where we take a look. But this is the average between 25% and 30%. Generally, our closest competitor is Krups, part of SEB Group, with a market share at approximately 20%. Then, as number three, generally is either SAECO or UA, depending on the market. If we look at the segments, more specifically in the super automatic segment, which is a very important segment, generally De'Longhi is number one, number two is Jura, and number third is SEB.
Okay, and can you tell us what about you think on the competition in Q4?
Oh yeah, well yes, I think that obviously Espresso is the fastest growing market in SDA, and most of competitors have invested very heavily in the last year. So I don't really think that there is increasing in competition. I think there is already fierce investment and competition, and now we have many major players. We have Bosch, Siemens. We have Philips, SAECO. We have Group SEB. And we might have more in the future, but I think that we are already facing, we have Jura as a traditional specialist in coffee makers. So I really think that, yes, we might see more players coming in the market, but I really think that the brands which we see as really tough competitors are already there and have been playing in this arena at least in the last couple of years.
Okay, thank you.
But I don't really see a change in the competition values. I still see a lot of competition.
So just a quick update: you do not expect that, for example, number three tries to get more market share, lowering price.
Yeah, everybody's trying to get market share. No, obviously, I think that the investment behind the companies are rather stable. I don't see changes in the investment from the main brands.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Mr. Bacoccoli, please.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. First of all, I want to go back to the Chinese market, please. I was wondering how are you planning to distribute your products there? So, for example, if you are using third-party players, or are you planning to build your proprietary platform there? Then the second question regards the net financial charges. If you could tell us the amount of losses on Forex you book in the 9 months results, and if those losses could wait on the last part of the year as well. And my last question regards the pricing policy. You mentioned, that one of the tools you are using to offset the rising raw material costs is the pricing policy. If I'm not wrong, you have planned to revise upwards prices starting from January. Is still is the case, or you have changed your plan taking into account the strong demand?
Okay, so the first question is about China. And China, yeah, no, what we decided to to do in China is to follow the traditional De'Longhi strategy, where we set up a branch, where we have basically a commercial organization, which is a fully owned, fully controlled sales organization, obviously Chinese managers, in order to distribute the products in China. And the strategy is to have selected cities with a higher density of population and higher income, and also to have selected retailers, not necessarily mass merchants or electrical stores, rather selected department stores and high street retailers. So obviously it's a high-end strategy. Obviously, is a strategy that is aligned with the price points and also the type of consumers that we are chasing. And the second question is, if you, this is enough, I move to the second question, which is about net financial position and the charges we have for exchange rates are approximately 4 million for the 9 months. So in this, we expect probably to have further charges, but I'm speaking maybe 1 million for the last quarter, if the exchange rates will stay as in the first 9 months. But in some cases, they're moving in the opposite direction. In terms of pricing policy, what we're doing is we are in the budgeting process now in order to finalize the pricing policy, and we are putting in place actions in the markets in order to offset the increase in raw materials, which is usually price mix, new products, some control in the contributions to retailers, obviously, in order to offset. We want to minimize the investment, we want to minimize our price increase because we don't want to lose any momentum. We think that we have a magic momentum in the marketplace, and we really don't want to disturb this very good market condition for us. However, we believe that there is room to protect the profitability, and we will try to protect through these price corrections and also changes in the mix of products, selling more, products with higher profitability, launching new models in order to improve the average margin.
Okay, thanks. Then my very, very last question is a more general one. At your conference call in May, your outlook was quite uncertain. Then suddenly the top line picked up, and eventually you reported in the third quarter with a 20% plus growth. I was wondering what's behind that, because the macros are almost there. Nothing has improved a lot. So how do you explain that?
Well, I would say that obviously we are very encouraged by a very, very strong quarter. Obviously, we have never experienced a 23% growth rate. We have never experienced a 27% growth rate for the household division. And we were not expecting a double-digit growth for the professional division. We were in a situation where we were unclear about, we knew we had good performance in the first 6 months, but we didn't know if also we could really rely on another quarter of growth. Now we have another excellent quarter for both divisions. Very good performance of the market share. We see the success of the new launched products. Also, we see a good performance in some emerging markets above expectations. I would say very good performance also in the Middle East, which I did not mention before. Russia, which was very gloomy at the beginning of the year, and also turned very rapidly to growth in the last months. So in reality, I really think that the situation now is probably we have evidence of another, let's say, 2 quarters of growth. So we feel now much stronger. Also, when we had the conference call last time, I was rather negative, and I remember that. But we were uncertain about the dollar, and at that time the dollar was very close to 120, and obviously 120 is a tough dollar for us. Now we are now at 136 after also touching 142, but now we are more in a we expect more a dollar to be in the 140 area rather than the 120 area before. So even if you stay at 136, is a dollar that we can easily manage in the marketplace. Obviously, if the dollar should go back to 120, I would go back to more uncertain mood and more worried about the performance.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Andrea Bonfa of Bancaletti. Mr. Bonfa, please.
Hi, I've got some follow-up question. I'm not sure if I understood. Did you express yourself regarding the, let's say, a 10% potential top-line growth for next year? Is that something you want to share with us? And the second one is about the tax rate. It was quite low in the third quarter. If it's possible to know what's your estimate again for this year. And going back again on the Forex side, if I'm correct to have understood correctly, you mentioned 4 million Forex impact on the financial charges. If that is correct, on the total of 25, it means 20 million of other financial charges. It means that there is an important increase of either financial discount or something else. So if you can elaborate again on that. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Mr. Bofa, could you repeat? We got the question on the tax rate. We got the question on the Forex and the financial charges. We could not hear you well on the first question about.
So the first question was simple one. I mean, I understood that you were mentioning a 10% top line growth for next year. Is that something I understood correctly? Or was it just a simulation, or you didn't express yourself, or what is the
growth? I really think that we have potential to grow up to 10% for next year. So obviously we usually say in the longer term we think that we can grow year by year 5 to 10%. I still think that we can have another good year due to two very strong launches and to aim also at 10% growth. Obviously, we have to see what is going to be the market condition where we will operate. About the tax rate, we also expect about a 35% tax rate.
How much, sorry?
35%.
Okay.
And the last question is about the financial charges and also the exchange rate charges. So what we have in the last quarter usually is about 8 million of financial charges. Part of it is due to cash discounts on receivables, which is a policy that we have, and this should account for approximately 50% of the financial charges.
So 1.5.
50%. About
50.
Say 8 million of charges in the last quarter of financial charges. We have said 4 million to come from discounts, financial. Discounts on receivables. Then we have also charges due to cost of interest on the net financial position and on the securitization. And this should be approximately another, let's say, 4 million. Then, including also the possibility of some adverse exchange rates.
Okay. And if I may, you were mentioning the next year where you got two important launches. One, I think, is the one related with the Nestlé agreement. The second one, what would be? Sorry.
No, the launch, I'm saying that we have just now in September launched the new Nestlé Dolce Gusto coffee makers.
Yeah.
So what we have done is we have added to the product portfolio, which includes an espresso, also a new system, which is Dolce Gusto. So this is already impacting starting September.
Okay.
Then I said that next year we're going to have two very important launches, which I did not disclose in which segments are, of coffee makers. So what we will introduce in beginning of next year a new coffee maker, and also in the second half, which we think will be very impacting coffee makers, which can deliver further growth.
Sorry, if I may, are these Nestlé and Nespresso related, or these are the Longhi branded products?
No, they're all the Longhi branded.
Okay. And if I may, the very last one, the 35% tax rate, is that sustainable, or is it a little bit, let's say, soft this year for special reasons?
This year is softer. So for special reasons, it depends also on the geography of you know, we are, let's say, a small multinational, so we have profits coming from different geographies. Obviously, if growth should come from Middle East or Asia, where we usually have a lower tax rate, this will ease the tax rate. If the profit should come from Europe, obviously the tax rate would be slightly higher.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no more questions. I confirm there are no further questions. There is one more question from Mr. Andrea Bonfa of Bancaletti. Mr. Bonfa, please.
Sorry if I insist. Regarding your net debt position at the end of September, I was expecting something lower looking at the sequential pattern of last year. Is there something that we need to take into account? Are you building up a little bit of working capital to face, let's say, important expectation for the last quarter, or did you securitize something less? Is it possible to...
No, you're right. We have 20 million more inventory this year. Obviously, this is part is obviously due to expectation of to deliver further growth for the last quarter.
Thank you.
There are no more questions. I confirm there are no further questions. Ladies and gentlemen, the conference call is over. Thank you very much for your attention.